What's up and welcome to the Active Amputee Podcast. Everything people with a limb difference need to live an active and exciting lifestyle. I'm Bjorn Eser, the founder of and shaker and maker behind the Active Amputee. Yeah, and you're listening to episode number 35 of the Active Amputee Podcast. Today is all about facing unexpected challenges and being able to repair your kit, your prosthetic devices while on the go. Lifting the veil of mystery. I love traveling, full stop. And while the last 2 years weren't much in terms of spending time away from the safety and comfort of my home, I used to travel a lot, often in far-flung places off the beaten track and far away from my prosthetist. As I never take crutches on overseas trips, and hardly on any of the trips around Europe, my prosthesis is the key to my mobility, and if it fails, I'm stuffed. And I mean stuffed. So I like to be prepared for a range of situations in which I might have to fix my prosthetic leg, my foot or socket myself. At the same time, I like to travel light. That means everything I need to repair something on the go needs to fit into my backpack. Why have an emergency kit at all? Looking back at the time since my amputation back in 2005, wow, amazing how time flies. 17, 18 years already. There were only a handful of situations in which my prosthetic devices failed me. I broke a couple of feet, I managed to drain all the hydraulic fluid of my first sea leg, another one of my high-tech limbs decided it wouldn't stop vibrating until the battery was completely flat and empty, one of the microprocessor knees just stopped charging from one night to the next, and I popped the valve, including its housing, out of one of the sockets when I jumped down from a boulder. None of these incidents were dramatic, no, not at all, but all of them were annoying in one way or another, especially as many of them happened abroad, far away from my trusted support system of experienced prosthetists and during my annual holidays or while on a business trip. In order to be better prepared, I put together an emergency bag that travels with me most of the time. The content changes constantly. While some of the key items have been in there from the very beginning, others come and go. Sometimes depending on the destinations and the kind of trip I'm on, and sometimes as their perceived usefulness changes over time. As you know, I often share my adventures on my blog, here on the podcast, or on Instagram, or any of the other social media channels I'm on. I talk about the highlights and the lowlights, and this means that I also let you in on the times when things don't go as planned, when the prosthesis gives me trouble, or when the residual limb is open and painful. An honest assessment of the challenges I face helps me to learn, it helps me to be creative in order to mitigate the problems in the future, and it helps me to build up my emergency kit. Talking openly about these experiences also means that I often get asked to share tested advice and help other people in their preparations for longer trips and for their adventures big and small. One of the questions that comes up regularly is the one about the content of my emergency bag. So, let me lift the veil of mystery here and now. A creative mindset is key. Did I just say here and now? Well, before we talk back content, I want to be clear about two things, and I really want you to listen closely and take these two points seriously. First and foremost, these tips and tricks, they work for me. They are part of my repertoire to deal with unexpected challenges and failing gear when no professional help is available. They are in no way a proper alternative to professional help by your prosthetist. Never, 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 ever. Let me be clear here. Fiddling around with your prosthetic leg or arm or foot comes with certain risks and with the danger of personal injury or worse in terms of your own safety. And it comes with the risk of further damaging your prosthesis or losing the warranty in terms of your prosthetic devices. So when you find yourself in an emergency because of failing or broken prosthetic equipment, take a deep breath, relax. Remember, panic never helps to make well-informed decisions. Assess the options you have realistically, assess the associated risks, and then decide on whether an emergency DIY repair is a good idea or not. And if you then decide to go for the DIY repair option, be very clear that you do so at your own risk. So much for that. Now the second point. And the second point is a bit of a different nature. It's all about mindset and creativity, about seeing the bigger picture and thinking in context. I am convinced that the best tool in your emergency kit is the ability to stay calm under stress and to think creatively and outside of the box. You need to be able to develop clarity what needs to happen in order to deal with an emergency, to deal with failing or broken prosthetic devices. And you need to be able to implement the respective plan to deal with these challenges with the, most often, very few items you have with you in your backpack. This seldom works at the first time, but be ensured you get better at it with practice and over time. As a result, I really strongly encourage you to play through a variety of possible challenges and to develop creative ideas on how to deal with these challenges in a safe and conducive environment. And that means prior to your actual adventure when you're still at home. Ask a friend to play the devil's advocate and test your plan and tease out its weak aspects and unreasonable assumptions. Ask others to develop creative ideas to a certain problem you give them, and then ask them to share these ideas with you. Get into the habit of playing the what-if game. That means when you're out and about, ask yourself what you would do if a certain problem arises right then and there. What if the battery of your prosthetic leg unexpectedly runs flat and is dead, but you still have to come down from a mountain? What if the valve of your socket fails and the vacuum suction is broken, so your socket falls off? What if? This can be great fun, and if you have kids, get them involved. They often have the very best ideas. Good, so much for that. And now back to the actual emergency bag and what's in there. What's in the bag? Remember, I like to travel light, and that means that I try to keep my emergency kit, both for medical as well as for technical issues, small and to a minimum. It's always a compromise, always a kind of trade-off. Sometimes I take more items, sometimes less. But it obviously means that I never take crutches, never take a carbon fiber repair kit, never take a second liner or something like that. Here are the items I always have in my emergency bag. First and foremost, there's the Allen key or hex key, depending on where you live. So if one of the screws comes loose or a broken one needs to be exchanged against a new one, I can easily do that. An Allen key is light and packs down nicely, so there's no reason not to have one with you. If you have a small and lightweight torque wrench, even better. Then you can stick to the guidelines of the manufacturer of your device when tightening the screws. But if that's not an option, don't worry. A simple Allen key does the job, and it does it pretty well, if you ask me. Spare screw. So if one of the screws breaks, I can easily replace it on the road. Ask your prosthetist for a spare screw or two and take them with you. Again, they are small and fit into any emergency kit, so there's no reason not to take them with you. Next on my list is a spare valve. If the valve breaks or it has sand or other particles in it preventing it from working properly, I can just switch it against a new one. Again, the item is small, it's lightweight and should be in your emergency kit. I had valves failing on trips, and trying to repair them on the go with chewing gum or other sticky material might earn you the admiration by MacGyver, and it might give you the applause from people who meet you on the trail, seeing you fiddling around with your broken prosthesis, but it seldom works. So, having a spare valve with you is a good idea, if you ask me, although one that might be a bit more challenging to implement. If you have an old socket, great, just take the old valve, that works fine. If not, ask your prosthetist if she or he can give you a used one he or she doesn't need anymore. That's another great option. But if that is not possible, be warned that a spare valve sets you back by a couple hundred quid. It's really expensive. I once thought I'd buy one from my own money, just in case, and then changed my mind quickly when I saw the $300 price tag that was attached to it. It's a simple piece of plastic, I mean. Next, silicone glue. This is normally a small tube of silicone glue that often comes with a new liner, or that your prosthetist might have lying around from other customers in case you don't use a liner system. It's normally used to seal the edges of a new liner once it's cut to size. But it can also be used to deal with broken valves and seal small leaks around the housing of the valve, between the valve and the actual carbon fiber socket. I also hear about people creating stronger or additional silicone stripes on the outside of their liner in order to create better and more reliable fit on the socket. But I must admit, I've never tried this last option myself. But still, I think taking a small tube of silicone glue with you is a good idea. The next point is duct tape. Well, who leaves the house without it? I think I don't really have to explain that more in detail, so let me just rest my case. Duct tape is a good idea. Then comes kinesio tape. This is a slightly elastic medical or therapeutic tape, and it's often used to prevent or treat common muscle or joint related injuries. And yes, that is one of its uses, and as such, it might be a good idea to have it in your medical kit. But here, and remember, we are talking about DIY approaches to deal with breakdowns of your prosthetic devices. So here I would like to share another use for kinesio tape. As you might remember, I often find it very hard to have a well-fitting socket when I'm very active, as I have a rather high level of volume fluctuation in my residual limb. So long days out hiking tend to be a problem. The more of the volume in my stump I lose, the harder it is to get a good and snug fit of the socket. The RevoFit adjustable dial helps, but sometimes even that is not enough. Once the volume is really down and the sealing ring starts rolling up easily, I need to bring in additional measures. And one of the easiest of these measures is to fix the sealing ring in place with a layer or two of kinesio tape. This tape is strong enough to keep the sealing ring in place, and at the same time, it's elastic enough to allow the muscles to work properly and, even more importantly, not to limit blood circulation. With its rather rough texture on the outside, it adds friction and increases the chances that your residual limb stays nicely in place in the socket. Next one, a seal-in ring. As with many of the other items mentioned above, this is first and foremost about having a spare one in case the one I'm actually normally wearing breaks. Without the seal-in ring, I'm stuffed. In addition, having the option of adding a second ring to the setup gives me yet another way of dealing with volume fluctuation of the residual limb throughout the day or when on longer hikes. The next one is a new addition to my repair kit. It's cable ties. After I recently broke yet another of my prosthetic feet, I tried to fix it with a handful of cable ties and some duct tape. Not ideal, I know, but possible. From what I can tell so far, the ties seem to be strong enough to hold the individual carbon pieces of my prosthetic foot together and get me off the trail or down from the hill without having to call in the emergency services. Add a thick layer of tape and a sturdy walking boot, and I think you're fine until you have access to a prosthetist. That brings us to the last item, and that is patches made from old liners. I know, I have spoken about this life hack a few times before, as it is, in my eyes, one of the simplest and most effective ways to deal with volume fluctuation of the residual limb and the respective loss of a proper fit of your socket throughout the day. I often cut up old liners into kidney-shaped patches and take two or three of them with me on walks. Especially back in the days when I still had a non-adjustable socket, I could use them when needed. When I noticed that the fit of my socket worsened as the volume of my residual limb decreased, I just took off the prosthesis, rolled down the liner, placed one of the patches with the silicone side face down onto my leg, normally right at the upper lateral side, then rolled the liner up again, got back into the socket and could continue with whatever I was doing a couple minutes later. Really simple and really easy and a really flexible way of handling problems while on the go. So much for the items that are normally always in my emergency and repair kit. Now, here are some other items that I sometimes have with me. First and foremost, there is, or let's say there was, a waterproof bag, the ones used for kayaking and canoeing. Before I started using the Genium X3, so that's a waterproof microprocessor knee, I often had a thin waterproof kayaking bag with me, something to quickly step into to protect the leg from water or mud when crossing small creeks during a hike, something that I used when walking on really soggy and wet ground, or when being on the beach and having to go through shallow pools or puddles or something like that. It's not very trendy, and you very often need to hold it in place with your hands, or actually need to carry additional duct tape or something to fix it in place, but it does the job, and it's a rather affordable solution, especially when you think about what it costs if you have to replace a knee you ruined by putting it through the water. The next one is a nylon or Dyneema sling, again something that's normally used for climbing. This is the last item and one I actually quite seldom use or have with me. But as I had some really unpleasant experiences when the leg just wasn't holding in place and when the socket kept on falling off, I still take a Dyneema sling with me on some of my more demanding hikes. It's a measure of last resort. It's nothing ideal, but it's something that kind of works, kind of, if everything else fails. The idea is that I tie the sling around the prosthesis right underneath the socket and above the actual joint. I then feed the sling through the hip belt of my backpack before bringing it over to the shoulder, which is diagonally across from the amputation. It needs a bit of playing around, but if you find the right balance between being tight enough to hold the leg in place and at the same time being loose enough for the prosthesis to swing and allow you to walk more or less okay, you have another option to address problems during the hike and walk back out of the nature, back into the civilization by yourself and without the help of others or having to call in the emergency services. Good, and now we're coming to two other trusted items, and yes, I agree, they're actually more part of my medical kit and not so much of the emergency repair kit for prosthetic devices, but let me still share them because they are key to what I do. The first item is udder cream. It's a Vaseline-style ointment, often with some calendula mixed in, and I use it to reduce the friction. That's the friction between either the edge of the liner or the edge of the socket and my skin. And that helps me to keep sore spots and broken skin to a minimum. Normally, a small amount is really enough. And while some companies that also produce prosthetic devices offer these very special products, I normally just use a cheap one from my local drugstore. It costs only a fraction of the other products and it does the job. And last on the list, and you probably guessed that one, blister patches. Yes, good old blister patches in various shapes and sizes and forms and you name it. They have been a trusted companion from the very first longer walk I did right after my amputation, back on New Year's Day 2006 that was in the Black Mountains in Wales, and I have gone through hundreds of them over the years. Some days I need loads, other times I don't need any at all for weeks at a time, but yes, they're always with me and they're always in my kit. So much for me. I hope there was something in there for you. I hope you learned something new. I hope I could encourage you to actually play around with some of these things. If you have problems with your prosthetic devices while out and about, that is normal. Don't be scared by them. Just take a creative approach, assess the situation, and then decide if you can do something about it by yourself, or if not, don't be ashamed of calling in help and asking for support by others. Either other people who are out in Mother Nature, on the track, or wherever you are, or if needs be, better safe than sorry, call in the emergency services. I hope you enjoyed the show. Make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the new episodes. And I would really appreciate it if you leave me a rating on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. If you want to learn more about The Active Amputee, make sure to head over to www.theactiveamputee.org, where you find hundreds of articles from amputees for amputees. Articles filled with inspiration, information, and encouragement to be active and live a rewarding life. I see you all again for the next episode. Until then, all the best. This is Bjorn from The Active Amputee.